Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at MyBlue. Our goal in MyBlue is to help you vape in the best way possible. And sometimes it's satisfying just to do it with like a natural tobacco. Sometimes you have cherry, strawberry, whatever. MyBlue is so easy to use that you can click in and out all day long with their one-click liquid pods between. It takes just a few seconds. They have a range of flavors to choose from. It's 20 minutes to charge and you're set all damn day. For a limited time, Blue is letting you try their offer with MyBlue Starter Kit for just $1. But hurry, this offer won't last long. There is some terms and conditions. Go to MyBlue.com today to learn more. Sometimes it's easier to find a vape that's simple and convenient. Well, it's never as easy as it is with MyBlue. MyBlue.com today for a $1 offer starter kit. It's not going to last long. Go do that now. Time for Zero Blog 30. Let's fucking go. I'm sick
too,
of waking
pal.
Up early to blog after staying up all night. This schedule is going to be a bitch. But I will improvise, adapt, and overcome just like we always do. How are you guys doing?
I'm excellent, per usual. Not tired. I'm great.
Yeah, we feel great, chaps. I don't know.
I'm sure Brent's tired.
Yeah, I'm baggy-eyed. I'm baggy-eyed for sure.
He looks like...
Brent looks like shit.
What do I look like?
Looks like General Mattis. He's got those little puffs underneath his eyes.
God damn. Yeah. I look like an 80-year-old man.
Yikes. Straight up double.
Brent looks
back
like somebody kicked his dog.
They might have. Oh. Anyways, it's been a big news week this week. All kinds of shit are happening. Last week we gave President Trump all kinds of credit for North Korea. It looks like that deal might fall apart because what's his name? Fucking the National Security Advisor Bolton. Looks like Bolton's fucking everything up. Bolton looks like a guy that fucks everything up. If you just look at him, he walks into a room, you're like, you're going to fuck something up.
Ah, here comes Bolton.
Classic Bolton. Textbook Bolton.
Fucking Bolton.
Why do I have to change my name? He's the one who sucks.
No talent ass clown.
Later on in the show, we'll have on Miranda Summers Lowe. She's going to be a great interview. Kate's going to introduce the entire show again, so look forward to that. We're going to have a brand new reintroduction of the entire week's podcast with Kate in just a few minutes. I'm excited for that. But we wanted to talk this week. There's news out there that General Petraeus and others are talking about the burn pits, because if you've been to a deployed area in Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria or Libya or wherever, you are going to see burn pits all over the place. So what's going on with that, Kate?
Yeah, so...
Well, why don't you start with, what's a burn pit?
What's a burn pit? In the States, it's known as a place for s'mores and good times. Maybe your uncle gets a little too drunk, embarrasses the family, but overseas...
We're not talking about your holidays.
Oh, pardon me. Overseas, it's where pretty much, whether it's an enormous base or a tiny outpost somewhere, you have to get rid of your waste. And it's not like they have dumps they can take it to out there, whatever. You burn it. So every spot where there's military personnel out there, big old hole, and they burn literally everything. On the smaller outposts, you are going straight from the wag bag, mm-hmm. like the plywood porta shitter with your shit. You're throwing it. Well, you're walking like 10 feet. You're throwing it in the burn pit, and there it is.
And not just human waste.
Not just human waste. Like everything. Chemicals. What else would you say gets thrown in them?
Guys, well, you know, uniforms, equipment that you don't need anymore. That's not, you know, a serial numbered equipment. But just basically anything that you need to make disappear.
And who knows what that Afghan army and A&P right. is throwing in there when you're not looking. They're sappy plates, et cetera. But yeah, so pretty much, depending on the way the wind's blowing, I remember there was times on my first deployment where it was so thick and hazy in my tent that I you couldn't breathe, you couldn't sleep at night. And that was almost constant sometimes, depending on the weather. And even on the smaller outposts, just being right on the other side of a mud wall from one for weeks at a time. So I'm looking forward to my children having multiple eyeballs all over their bodies at some point.
It's gonna be so
but
dope.
Yeah, so they've actually, people started developing illnesses that they thought were related to these burn pits. But KLB, the site responsible for a lot of the larger ones, it was like a government contractor, they were kind of exonerated in court, I guess you could say, because the reasoning of the judges was that the government condoned the contract, and therefore it was our government's decision to have them there. So really, they can't be even accused of wrongdoing. But recently, with all the backlash and everything, and so many people fighting to bring it back up again, the courts have kind of overturned it. So we're waiting to see right now if KLB can be held accountable for damages for a lot of people who have claimed to be suffering from this. And I believe that people really do and have suffered from it, from their lungs.
Definitely.
Even mental, the chemicals and everything. I've had a couple of my military friends with cancer, and they swear it was the burn pits. Yeah. So, and I mean, I'm just spitballing on that. Like, who knows? But I believe absolutely, after experiencing it myself, that that could be a definite issue for people.
Definitely. Because, I mean, even if you're not working by the burn pit, you're inhaling all those fumes, but then you have the soldiers and Marines who are operating the burn pit. They wear those a lot of times, just those little like painter's masks, which that's not stopping anything. You should almost wear your full on gas mask when you're
shut up,
inhaling
Hans,
these.
No, no, don't
what?
You do it. I don't want anybody from the government. Dude, nobody wants to wear fucking – I will take cancer 80 times out of 80 instead of standing in Fallujah in a fucking 120 degrees wearing goddamn full NBC gear to burn Lance Corporal
I didn't say full NBC
shit.
Gear, but I mean
– No
way.
That's
but
the
you're
most
right.
officer take in the history of the world. I would rather go out there in Speedos and flip-flops than put on a fucking mask and go do it. I will take
right,
it 100 times out of 100.
Enjoy your cancer.
I will.
I guess.
I'd rather do that than be a dude. I got diarrhea from sitting in that place for fucking years. I had that for a decade. I'll take the fucking lung cancer instead of doing that.
And the other problem now with a lot of these cases and these guys, they go to the VA. The further away you get from your time in country, the harder it gets to prove that the burn pit was the reason for your ailment, whatever it is. You know, that'd be like if I went to the VA tomorrow and said, you know, my right knee's bad. They could say, well, could that be from the 10 years of snowboarding you've done now, you know, or all the running you've done out of the military? Mm-hmm. So it becomes a challenge for these soldiers going to the VA and dealing with these problems.
And you're absolutely right about that. They do take so – they give so much less of a fuck after you've been out for a little while. I talked to one of my friends. I tweeted you guys and talked about it a little bit too earlier. I had a VA appointment this week, several for a checkup on TBI and some other stuff. And when I was in there, it only took me like 15 minutes to be done.
That's unheard of.
Unheard of. And I asked one of my friends who works at the VA. She is a psychiatrist. And she was like, well, what year are you out of the military? And she said, are you looking for new compensation or old compensation or what? I was like, no, it was just a checkup just to make sure that everything was the same. And she said, that's exactly why. She's like, it was your 5-year out checkup. No one cares anymore. Like, it's just a check in the box for them. They go in, they check your reflexes, and they get you out because they have 40 other appointments that they have to do that day. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, it makes sense. She just basically asked me, she's like, do you still have diarrhea all the time? I was like, yeah, I do. And she said, do you still have headaches? Like, yeah, I do. She's like, all right, well, we'll see you in like 3 years. So that's all that the appointment was about. It's pretty incredible that they do that. So if you have 5 years removed and you don't have anything on that on your record, you're less likely, even though it might take you a while to figure out, I didn't have asthma before, but now I can't breathe without an inhaler and I'm going upstairs. It could be the burn pits. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have, even if you're less years removed, if you don't have something documented in your medical records, it becomes more difficult to prove that the cause was something that happened in the military. So to all our active duty military who are listening, if something ails you, get it on paper. Go to the doctor and tell them what is wrong, not because you're soft, but because if you are going to need some sort of compensation down the line, it is going to go a long way to help you to get there.
That was a good officer take. All right, moving on.
We are going to go to our
Make sure that you have your mop suit on when you go to get this checked out, because you might encounter some pollution along the way. You definitely want to maybe have a gas mask on, but go ahead. Sorry, Jeffs.
There's definitely two things that you need to do before you get out of the military. Make sure that all your fucked up shit, all your little willies and billies are taken care of on your medical records. And you also need to have a plan of attack of what you're going to do after. You could do that with our friends at the School of Automating Machinists and Technology. SAMTech is based in Houston, Texas, and it's a fully accredited trade school. If you've ever wanted to work in NASCAR, NHRA, IndyCar, any of that shit, you can do it when you go to school with samtech.edu. To find out some information on that, how to work with Boeing, General Motors, Toyota, or any of those type of companies, go to samtech.edu/ZBT. SAMTech has been an industry leader since 1985, training listeners like you to do so much more than just change brakes and oil and the simple bullshit that you can figure out on a YouTube video. This is the real deal, building, machining, and working on engines for some of the biggest companies in the world. SAMTech offers courses in block machining, cinder head machining, CNC machining, EFI calibration. In less than a year, SAMTech can help you get started on the career of your dreams. SAMTech also offers an associate's degree of applied sciences. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Visit samtech.edu/CBT for more information, or follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at samtech.edu. That's samtech.edu/CBT to sign up today. We want to shit on this motherfucker that used to be a SEAL. Let's take a big old
Chaps
shit.
Not on, pulling any punches.
Let's take a big old shit on this piece of fucking garbage, Eric Greitens. Kate, you wanted to talk about this, so set the scene about why this piece of shit needs to be shit on.
Yeah, I've been eating protein all week waiting for this. Yeah, I am so
shit.
Ready. To,
MRE
I
shit,
got a
here
big
it comes. Eight wipes,
food
everybody
baby
knows a rule.
Yeah, so first, can I backtrack a little bit?
Yeah,
please.
Okay.
You're not
so
going to reintroduce
ago,
the show again, are you?
Yeah. Hey, so we have Radio Bren, Captain Cons, we got Chaps here, and me, Kate.
Wait, you forgot to clap. Make sure you clap before you do that.
There we
and
go.
I clapped earlier, Chaps, too. You would have been proud.
Girl.
I did my own. But so when I first got out of the military, moved to New York City, went to Fordham University, and I got a fellowship at this organization called The Mission Continues. And it was actually started by this gentleman, Eric Greitens, Navy SEAL. And the purpose was to help integrate you back into society, like you're getting out of prison. But you do basically volunteer work. You have to do, I think it was like 20 or 30 hours of volunteer work a month at a specific place of your choosing. And for me, it was the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. It ended up being great. I made a ton of great connections. That led to The Daily Show. That led to Comedy Central. So it was a really great thing for me. And I know it was great for a lot of other veterans, too. So it was a good way to do good and network, yada, yada. So, and he was like the poster boy golden child. He was like this super mm-hmm. handsome Navy SEAL. He had the perfect SEAL hair. I mean, this guy, you just wanted to see him take off a motorcycle helmet and twirl his head around a little bit.
I'm looking at his Twitter, Avi. He's got a beautiful family.
He's just like, if you think like America, like they just come bursting out of a giant apple pie with baseballs in their hands. They're like the American family. So, and he just seemed like such an upstanding guy. I actually like looked up to this guy. He was one of my like people, that's a veteran I want to be like.
Sure.
He's all about not what can I get, what am I entitled to, it's how can I give back to my community.
Yeah, it seemed
blah,
like
blah.
He embodied all the right values.
Yeah, and he was a total smoke show. Anyway, he went on to, he kind of distanced himself from the Mission Continues, stepped aside, let other people take the reins. He was still loosely associated with it on the board, I think. But he moved on to political aspirations and headed out to Missouri and ran a campaign. And largely the campaign message was, I'm a Navy SEAL, vote for me. And with that, he won governor of Missouri.
And what year was that?
This was, I want to say, 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, so it was recently.
Yeah, it was pretty recently. Yeah. So he's still governor right now.
Right.
But then, you know, perfect family, blah, blah. The ex-husband of a woman came forward saying, I feel the need to speak out about this. Eric Greitens had basically sexually coerced my wife and then took blackmail photos of it. So basically it was his hairdresser and they started flirting, whatever. The one day she came to his house, thought it was just going to be a little like run and run moment. I don't know. But he was like, come down to my basement. And I think it was something like, oh, I'm going to show you how to do this workout move or whatever. Next thing you know, she's like chained up and he's taking photos of her and using them. If you ever tell anybody about this, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So, long story short, I guess it was her husband at the time found out and divorced her, but he was also like, this is really fucked up, this is wrong, and put this out for everyone to see. So people started, once they started digging into Eric Greitens, they found right now he's accused of sexual coercion, blackmail, invasion of privacy, misuse of charity resources to fund his campaign, all this stuff. So not only that, he dug into the Mission Continues contact list and used his charity to further his political aspirations, mm-hmm. which is not legal. Mm-hmm. So basically, this guy that I thought was so perfect and looked up to is just a total scumbag. And what really bothers this article came out today, a bunch of other Navy SEALs are speaking out saying, we were telling you guys not to, like, just don't have a freedom boner for him just because he was a SEAL, like, mm-hmm. really look into this guy because something ain't right. And they're angry because his whole campaign, his whole thing is, I'm a Navy SEAL. And they're saying, you're making us look like garbage. So.
Sure. Well, it's been the last decade that Navy SEALs have really come to the forefront of our society through media in various ways, books, movies, and, you know, they're part of their credo that says, I do not advertise the nature of my work nor seek recognition for my actions, has really seemed to fall by the wayside. And I don't think it's by and large a problem within the special operations community. I think it's just a few bad eggs here and there, because if you see that, oh man, people want to hear my story, and if I tell it, it can make a lot of money. That's very attractive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I understand that. But from what I've read about this gentleman is that he hasn't necessarily told any lies, but he's allowed people to believe what they want to believe simply because he was a Navy SEAL, which I think is a form of dishonesty. Would you agree, chaps?
Sure. I feel like anytime you have those pictures and you're using that, and, I mean, obviously we don't know if everything is true or not because he's never been convicted or whatever. Like, just a little legal disclaimer. We don't actually know.
Yeah.
He seems like a fucking piece of shit, and I don't think that we need to call him anything else than a piece of shit. Whenever there's a preponderance of evidence out there, looks pretty bad, and I think he looks pretty bad there. Who doesn't look bad is our friend that we're going to have on the show next. And that's going to be brought to you by Lisa Mattress. Lisa is sending me a mattress right now, actually. I'm redoing my wife's Ooh. Office, and she wanted a day bed. And Lisa was like, hey, let's hook chaps up with a full-size mattress. So I'm so excited about that. Kelsey, my older daughter, has one too, and she loves it a lot. So we're looking forward to have two or three. I think I have one in my room too. No one wants to spend hours in the awkward showrooms because let me tell you actually about my mattress. I just bought like this before I started working at Barstool. I bought like this $2,000 mattress that was supposed to have these mm-hmm. gel inserts and everything to keep you hot because I sweat like a fucking pig in the middle of the night. And they had this warranty that was supposed to be, it's a 10-year mattress, 10-year warranty. No matter what happens, if it's disfigured or whatever, we'll replace it. Well, a couple weeks ago, I went and got – no, not a couple weeks ago, like 2 months ago. I went and got the people. I was like, look. It's basically on my side of a bed, there's like a canoe. Like if you filled it with water, I could be fully submerged like one of those babies that's getting baptized by the Turkish priest. Just baptize the shit out of me in my bed. It looks fucked up. Even when the bed's made, there's like a hole in it. Well, Lisa's not supposed to do that, and they don't do it, and they give you a 100-night risk-free trial. And if you want to get one, go to lisa.com/barstool today, and you can receive – $125 off, which is a great deal. They have over 10,000 five-star reviews. It's a great, great mattress. You're going to want one. Go get it. All right, here's the interview. Kate, reintroduce the show.
All right. Welcome to this week's episode of Zero Blog 30. We have Radio Bren, Captain Cons, and myself. We'll have chaps joining us later. But right now, we're interviewing from the Smithsonian Museum down in D.C., Arthur Demrich from the Center for Invention and Innovation, and Miranda Summers Lowe, the military curator. And you guys have an event coming up this weekend that sounded really interesting to me. And it involves science, tech, medicine, augmented reality. What's going on down there?
So we have a program we're calling Military Invention Day that showcases about 30 really leading edge technologies invented by people in the military or by some of the closely allied R&D firms. Think about DARPA, Draper, companies like that. So it's a way for people to come in and see technologies that are going to impact their lives in the future. We really target this for the general public. We're obviously really excited when current or veteran service members, bring their families, come in. There are a number of hands-on activities for kids, invention challenges, you know, invent an exoskeleton, invent a new transport vehicle. So people get to come in and actually try things out. They'll also, as I say, really see some of the real leading edge technologies that are going to influence both how the military works, but also a lot of our daily lives in the future.
And are these inventions that are currently in place in the military or going to be in place or a mix of both or what?
Yeah, it ranges. I mean, we have things that are really many years out. So, for example, the Air Force is bringing a technology that's really early stage development in order to do hypersonic flight. So think Mach 5 without your airplane falling apart, which it would currently. So, you know, they're really bringing some of the physics and geometry of that. We also have some technologies that are really already being rolled out. So Army Night Vision is bringing, and you'll have a full immersive tent, a chance to walk in and see what that's like. And they're showcasing a number of scopes from the recent past right up to what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I think part of what's exciting here is unless you, you know, do work at Secret Squirrel Lab, a lot of what's going to be out there on Saturday is so cutting edge that, you know, the average guy in uniform hasn't seen it yet, but they might have it in their hands next year or 2 years down the road.
And I mean, is this a lot of times we know our special operations community has all the coolest of the cool stuff, but what about the average Joe soldier? Are they going to experience any of the inventions that you're showcasing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for example, this is probably the wrong place to start, but we have a DOD feeding. So there's going to be a display of some of the newer food that will then get rolled out to the armed forces. But there's also displays, for example, Naval Research Laboratory is bringing a technology that showcases how they're deriving energy from seawater. And so, you know, as that develops, that's going to impact everyone's lives, right? Future ships, in theory, can be fueled by chemical reactions and the membranes they've developed right out of the seawater. So you won't have to fuel it up with, you know, petrochemicals, petroleum the way we do today. Wow. So really that entire spectrum,
I mean, I don't get you too excited, but the MRE inventors offered to bring an actual pizza MRE so we can, like, see it and touch it and prove it exists. So I don't want to overhype that. But
please send me photos. It's the unicorn. I can't wait to see this thing. That'll probably be of all the amazing and incredible things there that unfortunately my ears perked up the most on that one when you said they're going to have the future foods. Like, all right. And I have a question.
Let me tell you about one more just quickly. And
absolutely.
Then keep going. But, so, you know, we talk about inventors as scientists, as engineers, and a lot of them are going to be here. We also have an inventor that's coming from the Coast Guard who created the hammer hook. So what's the hammer hook? The hammer hook is, for the past 100 years in the Coast Guard, for some of the operations, they move a lot of very heavy chain around, and they've used two different tools. He combined them into one tool, and they're now going to roll that out across the fleet.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So this is like Shark Tank.
When you look at your tool bench tonight, like, look at it and think, hey, what tool am I missing that I can make?
Of the inventors we have coming in, we have officers, we have enlisted, one of the presenters, we've got a second lieutenant who's presenting some cutting edge medical information technology, all the way to some of these PhD civilians. And it's just fascinating to see how invention happens from the guy on the ground that just sees that their gear's not working, all the way up to the person who spends 20, 40 years really researching microtechnology.
Right. So where do you even... I kind of want to take a step back and figure out, where does this event originate from? Do people just work on things for their entire careers and you go find them? Or is this an annual thing, an event that happens? Because, I mean, you're talking about scientists and inventors, but then you're also mentioning active duty military. Where does this even come from?
Yeah, so we came up with the idea about a year and a half ago to say a couple of things. One is, we know anyone who studies technology history, who studies the history of invention, knows that the military's played a tremendously important role, especially since World War I. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a mistake to think that we have technologies in our lives that didn't have some link in. You know, GPS is the most obvious every minute of every day example. Mm-hmm. So one idea for us was, how do we see what's coming in the future to relate it to the history we have on display in the museum anyway? From there, what we did was really reached out broadly across the armed forces, built some connections, got to know some people, and said to them, here's a chance to do something a little different. You do demos and displays for, you know, members of Congress, for the elite. Here's a chance to show everyday Americans who are coming to the museum anyway what you guys are about, but also to inspire the next generation. It's a piece of what my team in the Lemelson Center does. It's how do we excite young people about science and engineering? You know, some kids glom onto it in the classroom, but actually a lot of them want to see something, make something, be hands-on. That's what gets them excited and inspired. And so this is a way to really, you know, reach a group of people. And then the third element is just in the DC region, the people who, you know, most likely to come to the day, we have an incredible number of active service members as well as veterans and their families. How do we do something that's kind of special for them that relates to what we're about as a museum and is also just a fun day?
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then Miranda, as a former member of the military yourself, how do you view this? And beyond that, how did you even get involved in working at the Smithsonian?
I've always had kind of a passion for history. And if anything, I think working in history has really expanded my worldview. It's a lot like traveling as far as like seeing other ways of doing things. And I found a lot in my military career. Sometimes I didn't have the perspective to understand how like my job, you know, as a pogue, which is what I do, really fit into the grand scheme of things. So especially this looking into Military Invention Day, I'm helping to set up a display where we'll pull some of the historic objects we have in the Armed Forces History Collection out. So you can kind of hold it side by side and look at it. And I think that's something that a lot of us can really appreciate who are still serving, and that you may have a day where you are using the most cutting edge navigation technology. We have some demonstrators coming in that are kind of looking at like post GPS navigation, but you also might be back to like the compass and the sextant, mm-hmm. and we'll have those out.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, the military is really the future, and in some ways, we just live in the past every day.
Well, because it works, right? You know, we stick with what works so many times. What is post GPS though? What's beyond GPS?
It's star-based.
Oh, wow.
So Draper, Charles Stark Draper Labs, they're bringing in a system called Skymark. And the idea is, okay, so you want to land a vehicle on Mars. You're not going to have GPS guidance. Suppose you want to land it with precision on Mars instead of just having it plop down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really going to be able to do that. So this technology integrates, you know, what we know about star maps with very fast processing speed and the ability. I think one of their leaders on this quoted, you know, suppose you want to park, a vehicle going 500 or 50,000 miles an hour in the space of a narrow alley on the surface of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
This will let you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I have trouble uploading pictures to my blog. So that's a little above my level.
A little bit above your head? Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Well, when you live on Mars, you still want to be able to upload those pictures,
that's
right?
That's true. So maybe they can put that. And really quick, what are the details for the day again? So it's taking place this weekend, the whole weekend, or just Saturday? Or?
Yeah, so it's this Saturday, May 19th. Regular museum hours, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Free and open to the public. National Museum of American History. We're between 12th and 14th on Constitution, or you can come right in off the National Mall, which is Madison Ave. Again, basically the corner of 12th.
Very cool.
So Kate and I were talking prior to getting you guys on the horn, and one of the things we were curious about, we have all this great technology that we are going to put on display for anyone to walk in off the street. Is there any concern for someone in a foreign country that may not necessarily be our ally to come in and absorb this technology and take it back to their country and build something similar? Is there a concern for that, or did you have to get any sort of clearance from the DOD to have this display?
Yeah, what if the
Yeah.
What if the Russian Coast Guard starts using that hook hammer? Then what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I think so. On the hammer hook, I think that it's not a bad thing for the rest of the world to be able to use that, right? I mean, whoever we're best of friends or less well friendly with, mm-hmm. you still don't want their frontline service people like hurting themselves on the job. You know, those are the high level policy decisions versus like, who do we really care about? But the other thing is, of course, we actually from the start say to all of the display organizations, this is open to the general public. We don't control that. Send things that are cleared for the public.
Okay.
Right. So there's a layer of top secret technology that as a scholar at the Smithsonian, I'm not seeing. Miranda may have seen some of it, doesn't really tell me about it. But I got to tell you, what inspired me was saying, you know, the way science and technology progress is to not be totally obsessed about national borders, because it's in that exchange that, in fact, a lot of innovation can happen and move forward. Mm-hmm. But the other thing to know is, you know, we keep reading and hearing about the decline of American ingenuity, the decline of what's happening here. Mm-hmm. What I see in this set of displays is an American form of innovation mm-hmm. that no one else has copied yet. So even if they see it, that doesn't mean they can turn around and make it
sure.
and do it efficiently sure. and get it to market. And so we really still are very fortunate to have kind of an ecosystem around this that is incredibly creative and incredibly inventive.
Well, there's always information always goes to your way. So, you know, possibly some of these bad dudes could see this technology and get very intimidated and say, wow, you have hammer hook.
But I guess, and then to that end, from your vantage point, do you think seeing all this amazing ingenuity, do you think probably not in the very near future, but maybe the distant future, we are seeing a path toward removing the human element from our military altogether? I mean, you see it now a little bit with drones, where we sit in a lab in Arizona and fly drones over the Middle East. Do you see a point in time where that becomes the norm as opposed to what it is right now?
I think it's going to continually shift.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, you'd have to be somewhat insane to field an army that marched in a straight line against another army today.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in history, that made total sense.
Right.
So absolutely, it's going to, the tactics and the approaches continue to shift. Last year, General Mark Milley was our keynote speaker. He spoke a lot about how the future of combat, the winners of future combat, are the ones who connect together and put together technologies in ways no one's seen. And so that's really the human technology interface that changes, and that is the future of this. So I would generally say, yeah, we're going to have fewer frontline people. It isn't going to change ultimately that there are some situations where there's going to be people putting their necks on the line,
mm-hmm.
and you want to do everything you can to make that, you know, as safe for them as possible. But there are certainly, you know, at this moment in time, I would say the artificial intelligence, the robotics we're seeing are not nearly there to the kind of point where you were kind of beginning to lay out.
Okay, so Terminator 2, we don't have to worry about that just yet with Skynet taking over. Okay, got it.
Yeah. And so on a bitter...
point out, we do have insect-controlled robots.
What?
The armed forces, both the Army, Air Force, have gotten really interested in using insects both for surveillance capability, because, you know, they fly in very fast ways. They also respond incredibly fast. So Air Force is bringing a display where the insects are basically wired in to control robots, because an insect can see in 360 degrees and respond much faster than a human.
How do you?
And so, the future robots, the future Terminators, will in fact be controlled by insects.
How the hell do you train a bug?
So you don't train it; you have to wire it up.
Okay.
And you use it.
Well, how do you get it to sit still? Like, excuse me, fly, don't move.
I think if you're nice enough,
that's where you have to have a very professional dragonfly trainer in your armed forces.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Wow. I've seen a bunch of videos from frat parties lately where the kids are, the new thing is kids getting bees on strings. So I feel like we're all catching up to it.
Yeah, I
feel like
so.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
But wow, that is incredible. That's If you're in the D.C. area, I highly recommend you check this out. It sounds super awesome. If I was there, I would have my MVGs on in the dark, eating that MRE pizza, checking out all the new grub. But it sounds like you guys are doing amazing things, and I can't thank you all enough for coming on the show. And do you have anything else that you want to add or throw out there about this event or the Smithsonian in general? Or
come by. You know, we have exhibits that trace the history of armed forces, the history of combat, and here's a chance actually to also see some of the present and future. So we welcome everyone.
Really cool. And I have to say, real quick, I've been down to the Smithsonian. Miranda is one of my friends, and she gave me the personal tour of what she does down there, and it's just an awesome job, and it's so cool, especially if you're in the military,
sure,
to see, you know, to see it all set up. So Miranda, crushing it, as always. But, anything else, or your any
We're
other
good.
Save rounds? All right. Well, thank you guys so much again for joining us. I just learned why we clap, by the way.
Oh, really?
Because it leaves a little, it leaves a mark, and you know.
You just thought it was fun?
I was like, I don't know why the fuck we keep doing this, but I'm here for it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, now we clapped. Now we clapped okay. again, and still talking after.
Not yet, he's still talking.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All right, here we go. That interview is brought to you by Simple Contacts. Go to simplecontacts.com/ZBT or enter the code ZBT to get these contacts. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in just minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century. Instead of heading to the doctor every year to renew your prescription for something you wear every single day, take a few minutes out of your day to do it on your own time and your own terms. Need to renew your prescription? Take 5-minute vision test from your phone or computer. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts, and all you need is your current contacts and internet connection in just 10 feet of space. If you have an unexpired prescription, just upload a photo of your doctor's information and order your lenses right then and there. There are a million things demanding your time, and contacts lenses shouldn't be one of them. With Simple Contacts, you can renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. No more doctor's offices or wait rooms. It takes less than 5 minutes to do it. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists. Review every single test to carefully make sure that your eyes look healthy and your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts has all brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around for lenses at the best price. We want to hear it in your own words what you have. So if you get these contacts, make sure that you let us know. I want to switch the contacts because I'm tired of wearing glasses. My fucking glasses get dirty as shit all the damn time. I'm sick of it. I was going to get surgery, but if this works out pretty easily, I'm going to do that. It's $30 off. Use the promo code ZBT or go to simplecontacts.com/ZBT to make sure you do it. It's so easy to make the test. You could do it on your phone or computer every single time. Once again, that's simplecontacts.com/ZBT or enter the code ZBT. All right, let's get into some hypothetical times. What do we got, Kate?
All right. I love these. And
yeah,
they're always in quite the mental pickle. So first one that I came across today that I knew the answer for me right away. If you could switch bodies with your significant other for 24 hours, would you want to see what the sex is like? Uh-oh. Hell yeah, I would.
Yeah, I'd fuck me.
I would totally fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was easy. Yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, geez. I didn't know if anybody would be like, I don't know if I want a dick in me. Like,
but... Well, speaking of, don't you have a hot date this weekend?
I do.
What's that about? Yeah, girl gets her hair done and she gets a hot date. What's up?
I know. I got blonde hair.
What's going on? Where do we meet? Tell me everything.
Oh, no. I think he listens to this.
This is a little personal. This is just a little personal. Okay, feel free to not do that if you don't want to do that. Jesus.
Well, he sent a big old meaty dick pic, and I was like, ooh, yeah.
Your girlfriend, what's that? What's going on with that? Yeah. God damn.
Anyway, on to the next one. I don't really have a date this weekend. I'm still totally mysterious and available to anyone with low enough standards to be interested. Okay, would you rather have to eat a big old turd, but no one would ever know, or you don't eat a turd, but everyone for the rest of your life would think you were the person who ate a turd? Like, you got drunk one night, you got ripped, and you ate a turd.
Yeah, even you can't have that. You got to just suck it up and eat the turd.
I would eat the turd, I think.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I think worse. That probably if you ask most people, like, just off the street that know me cursory, if you said, has Chaps eaten shit before, I think the answer would probably be yes.
Yes, so, I absolutely agree.
I don't really think it would change my reputation that much either way, so I would probably decline.
You'd be good, but like looking at Cons and his press shirt and his pleated pants and his little, like, I feel like at the office that'd be a little rough if you were a turd eater.
I have a reputation as an officer and a gentleman to not be eating poop.
Enlisted can eat poop. We're fine.
Yeah.
Barstool employee, Bren, you could probably eat poop and
I
be
could.
Cool.
I could probably swallow. I could put it down.
Didn't PFT just eat poop?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
It's fake news. Completely fake news.
All right. Would you... Oh, we kind of going on talking about the Biz Nasty, the new hockey thing coming out here at Barstool. Would you rather have to do a battle? You have like teams 5-on-5, hand-to-hand combat in super thick sand or on ice?
Ice.
That's tough.
Yeah. Ice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess ice because you can still stand and have your wits about you on ice, although obviously it's very slippery. But I think if you're in super thick sand or mud or something, you're losing full use of your legs and feet. So you're kind of planted there. You're at a disadvantage.
I also think it depends on the size of the person. Like if they're a lot bigger than me, I would probably rather go for sand because then I can use the sand as a weapon. But if they're about the same size, same reason, but I feel confident in my ability to take somebody down, and then I would use the ice as a weapon where I would slam their head into the ice.
Ooh, yeah. The ice is a weapon. You're right. That
so
could be
sand,
a good one.
I would do it because I would go low and just try to trip somebody and then immediately cover their eyes with sand and try to use it that way.
Side note, this is kind of gross, but I went on that hike last week.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I did. It was like 209-mile hike for the Marine Raiders Foundation. But at the end, we all went in the ocean. I had these blisters on my feet. And then I guess this is gross. Big one on my heel, like, resealed itself. But it was, like, getting puffy and it hurt. So last night, I was like, man. So I kind of peeled at it and, like, a pile of fucking sand came out of it.
Cool.
Yeah. It, like, resealed itself full of sand and it was gross.
I thought for sure we were going to go with a vagina joke there, having sand in your vagina. Like
That's still in there. I'm making a pearl.
How are you feeling otherwise, though? Like total body, feet, everything?
Today is the first day I've worn shoes since the hike.
Okay.
But I have like Band-Aids all over. Yeah, I feel like I had the flu for a couple of days. Like I feel like I got hit by a car for 2 days after. Like I just was so out of it. I was exhausted.
Did you get prickly heat?
What's prickly heat?
You don't know how.
Wow.
You don't know what
you
prickly heat is?
You said that like Elf too. Ooh, what's that?
Yeah, like, ooh, prickly heat. I want some. Prickly heat, I've mentioned this on the show before. It's the worst thing you can get in the military and happens oftentimes when you're in the field because you're not showering. So even if you're using baby wipes to clean yourself in the evening, you're not getting a real thorough wash. So it happens in the field. I suspect it happened because you guys weren't showering, or were you?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, so I just assumed. And what it is there's a dirt buildup in your pores, so it blocks your pore.
Yeah.
So then when you sweat, the sweat has nowhere to go. It can't escape your body. And the tingling that you feel is torturous because you can't scratch it and make it go away like an itch. You just have to endure it. And it's always in places that you can't really reach anyway. It's an excruciating form of pain. It's torture.
I've never had prickly heat.
I was in jungle warfare training, and I had prickly heat. And my staff sergeant made me take off my skivvy shirt, my undershirt, and my blouse and sprayed me with DEET oil. And it burned like my skin was legitimately on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you might have chigger, so I'm going to just spray this DEET on you. You're not supposed to spray DEET on people straight up.
No.
No.
Not
definitely
at
not.
All.
And it, I mean, my back turned maroon. Like, I thought my skin was going to blister. It was fucking terrible. I couldn't get a boner. I thought I was, like, super. Whenever I got back from the field, I couldn't get a boner. I wish I would have had our friends from 4Hems there because they would have helped me with sexual wellness pills. You could do that, too, with 66% of men losing their hair by the age of 35. You're not going to notice it, just like you don't notice that prickly heat is going to start settling in. Your prickly heat start to settle in. Your boner goes away. Not with our friends at 4Hems. They're going to help you out. They have real doctors that's backed by real science. They're well-known genetic equivalents and name-brand prescription to help you keep your hair, get your boner back, all kinds of shit. No awkward doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4Hems.com. It's so easy. Answer a few quick questions. The doctor will review and prescribe you products. The products are shipped directly to your door, and our listeners get a free trial of 4Hems for just $5 today, right now, while supply lasts. See website for full details. This would cost you $100 if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4Hems.com/0. That's 4Hems.com/0. 4Hems.com/0. All right. Let's do some Save Ryan's alibis.
I actually have one. So my dad's in a band.
Okay.
And he is playing at a USO show on Sunday. It's presented by Center Stage Music. The band that he is in is called Code Blue. He plays a guitar. And
rhythm guitar? Bass guitar?
It's a lot of rock guitar. They do a lot of covers. So they cover the Beatles, Stone Temple Pilots, some other songs like in that genre. So it's like that. Well, not that those two bands are in the same genre.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
They do play a lot of covers, a lot of songs that you've heard, and they're pretty good. Like, I'm not gonna lie, my dad's pretty talented at guitar. So that's on Sunday at Bartini's in Babylon, New York. So it's obviously I'm from New York, mm-hmm. grew up here my entire life. So that's out on Long Island, 4:30 to 11:15. There's going to be a ton of other bands, and it's 100% nonprofit. All proceeds go to the USO.
That's awesome. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Nice. Awesome,
ladies.
Oh. I'm trying to get fucked. Go see Baby Boy.
Yeah.
Con, what do you got?
This weekend, Patriot League Championship, 3-game series, Army-Navy. Beat Navy. Baseball, what? Sorry.
Oh, baseball.
Baseball.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, sorry. I realized I didn't mention that. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I got nothing.
You're about to go out and do some USO goof, or you're about to go do some Fleet Week goofing? Is that what you're doing right now?
I actually am off by a whole week. I guess I called the guy today, and I was like, hey, I'm trying to come up to that big tank in Times Square. And he's like, yeah, next Thursday.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, no, I totally know. I was just going to be a little early. You know, Marines 15
yeah,
days prior.
I was making sure you knew that you're But yes, guys, Fleet Week is coming up, and I'm hoping to – I know some of the Barstool people are going to do tours of some of the Navy ships. They're going to have Navy divers in Times Square in a giant tank. I asked them if I could go into the tank with a Saturdays Are for the Boys float, now available on the website. But they said I could not, that I'm a liability, but that I could. That,
you are a liability.
Yeah. But they said that I can interview them. What's that?
Did you tell them you're a swim qual?
I am the very highest level of swim qual.
Just tell them that and be like,
not
I'm going
brag.
Into the damn tank.
I'm not.
Brag.
Get out of here, you freaking sailors.
Yes. So, but they said I can actually interview them while they're underwater because they can like talk perfectly clearly with
cool.
whatever. So I was like, yeah. So silent drill team, I asked if they could come in here and do stuff with their rifles. And they're like, ah, no. So, but it's a work in progress. But stay tuned for that next week.
Hell yeah. I guess that's it. I don't have anything.
Wait, hold on. Okay. Your daughter pulled a move this week that was very reminiscent of a brand new private.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you might
safety violator.
Yeah, big
safety
time
violator.
Safety violation.
Safety
Could you
violator.
Tell our listeners about that in case they missed it earlier?
Yeah. So, my daughter, if you don't listen to Podfathers or if you don't follow the blog closely or Twitter, my daughter, the 5-year-old, is an insane person. She is in like the 5th percentile for her height and weight. She's really, really small, but she packs a huge punch of personality. So. Nothing she really does surprises me anymore because she's just a crazy person. I mean, there's no other way to say it. So whenever she came home from school, she was chilling upstairs. She was watching Arthur. She's on like this huge Arthur kick right now. She ate dinner. She was playing around. We played Uno. We did the typical family shit. Then it was time for bath time. So she was wearing these little shorts that were like Under Armour shorts that had pockets in them. And she goes in there. I go to take her to give her a bath, and she looks at me, she's like, Daddy, guess what's in my pocket? And I was like, what, baby? And she's like, I got this, and slaps a razor blade onto the counter. It's not like a Bic razor blade or one that you would get from our good friends at Dollar Shave Club. Nothing like that. She had a razor blade that looked like it belonged to Sweeney Todd the barber. And she slapped it on the table, and I was like, where in the fuck did you get this? And she was like, I found it in the mulch. And it was – she looked at me like I had a dick growing out of my forehead when I asked her where she got it. Like, obviously, I got it in the fucking mulch, dude. It was at daycare. Where do you think it would be at? But luckily, it was, like, super rusted over, so it wasn't sharp because it would have cut her little baby legs to shit. So
we
had, like, a talk, like, hey, if we had basically the talk that you would do whenever you're police calling a field – and it was like, if it doesn't grow, it goes. Like, but it's the opposite way. Like, you can pick flowers, you can play with mulch, but if it's steel, let it lie there and let your teacher know. Yeah. She's like, all right, got it. But, I mean, really can't blame her because I never really gave her the talk. Like, if you find a razor blade,
she never got
mulch,
the safety brief on razor blades.
That's on me. And the rest of her
leadership. Texas mulch razors, man.
What was your wife's reaction?
I told her, and she was like, yeah, it makes sense. We'll talk to daycare about it. I mean, it's just really not surprising if McCartney does really anything at this point.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
good
it.
Good for her.
Sound the retreat.